Hello, friends. This is Andy Atwell welcoming you to Come, Let Us Reason Together. This next half hour will be dedicated to putting the Bible back into its number one place in the hearts and minds of mankind. Throughout the centuries, the Bible remained the number one book sold. Only today has it taken a back shelf position in men's lives and minds. Even Christian bookstores have more books about the Bible than the Bible itself. The Bible is the only book written by God, and in it alone is found the pathway to life. Come now, let us reason together with Gilbert Larson and his friends.
Hello, everyone. It's time to get your Bible and grab a cup of coffee. We are in
Acts chapter 18, verse 1.
What's the context, Andy?
1 through 4.
But before we get started, we want to sing Psalms 19 about the law of the Lord. Psalms 19, verses 7 through about verse 13. You know, the Old Testament is used a lot, is quoted into the New Testament. It's quoted 62 times from the Old Testament into the book of Matthew alone, 62 times. 5 times 11, 5 elevenths, and 1 7 equals 62. So that's why when we're writing this book that we're going to be putting out to people, the first subject is chapters 1 through 4, in which there are 11 quotes. And then you get to the Sermon on the Mount, and there are chapters 5, 6, and 7, and there are 11 quotes out of the Old Testament into the New. So we like to mix in the Old Testament and the New. Psalms 19, verse 7 through 13.
The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than the honey and the honeycomb. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than the honey and the honeycomb. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true, they are righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than the honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, is thy servant warned. And in keeping of them there is great reward.
This is Gilbert from Red Bluff, California.
Hi, this is Andy from Vancouver, Washington.
This is Brett from Vancouver, Washington.
This is Vanden from Camas, Washington.
So it's time to get your Bible, and we are in Acts chapter 18, beginning in verse 1.
After these things, he departed from Athens and came to Corinth. And he found a certain Jew, Aquila by name, Pontian by race, lately come from Italy, and his wife Priscilla, because Claudius had commanded that all the Jews to depart from Rome. And he came to them, and because he was of the same trade, he abode with them, and they wrought, for by their trade they were tent makers. And he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath and was persuading both Greeks and Jews.
Anybody have anything to say about that? So isn't it interesting how all of a sudden the Jews are picked on? Is that happening in America today?
Yeah.
In different times, different ways. It has been for years. Go ahead, Brett.
On the last radio show, did we go through all of the rest of that in 17?
We read it, but I don't believe we went through it.
No, we didn't talk in detail about it.
Right. Did you have something to say?
No, I was just making sure, because I think we stayed within even verse 16 through 23, but it gets into some other things here too about being then the offspring of God, we ought not to think the Godhead is like unto gold or in silver or stone graven by art and device of man. At the times of ignorance, therefore, God overlooked, but now declares to men that they should all everywhere repent. So I was wondering if we were getting into...
Brett just backed up into chapter 17 because we didn't finish talking about that.
There was a lot. There was a ton in there.
There is.
And I think the more that we look at it, there's always going to be something in there. But this is one of those things that we've talked about in the past that it's clear that repentance is a command.
There is a lot talked about here. As a matter of fact, I've got a note on my side. I've got one of these wide margin Bibles, and there are 18 things. I have a note here, 18 things everybody must know about God. And this is part of that, that God that made the world, that's one thing, that he is the creator and he created all things. That's another thing. And he is Lord of heaven and earth. That's number three. He does not dwell in temples made with hands. That's number four. And he's not served by human hands. That's five. He needs anything himself, since he gives to all people life and breath and all things. That's another important thing to know. He's the one that everything comes from God. And he made from one person, Adam, every nation of mankind. So why the racial divide if he made from one man? We're men. If we're men, we're men. God made by God. And we all came from one man. And yet we all look a little different because we've taken on our parents' attributes, and it's changed according to DNA or whatever. And he determined different appointed times and the boundaries of their habitation. He put people in different areas. He moved some of us around, didn't he, Brett? Your family got moved around.
Yeah. We were actually, when we were having some lunch, I was talking about a friend of mine who got moved from North Carolina out to the Pacific Northwest where we met. And we got to talk about these things.
And you came from North Carolina originally, your race of people, right?
Yeah,
somewhere on the East Coast.
Cherokee.
We're the original, the Cherokee Nation moved from North Carolina down to the...
To the nations.
Yeah.
Oklahoma.
Not Ohio. Yeah, Oklahoma.
Oklahoma.
That's what they call the nations.
Yep. And so you were a Southerner before Andy. I mean, your family was Southerners before Andy moved in from, and you,
yeah,
you've got some English background in you, don't you, Andy?
Yeah, and I had to let that be known to Andy, too, that like I'm a little more on the original side.
You're more original Southerner than Andy.
Your ancestors are for sure. No kidding.
But, you know, my friend moved from North Carolina, you know, for a whatever opportunity out here. But he came to a position where he was soft about the things of the Lord. We got a chance to talk.
Do you ever wonder about God bringing your family to a certain place? Like, Jesse's family came from Portland, Oregon area. I don't know where they came from before that. And that's Landon's dad. Do you know much about your family, Landon?
Besides their names, no.
Oh. Well, you'll have to talk to your dad about some of their, maybe the countries they came from, Europe, and how we all got over here. And some of us were even put into a neighborhood for a reason. We even moved into a set of apartments. Your grandpa moved into a set of apartments where Tom and Cheryl Richardson were managers. And they called me up one day, and Tom and Cheryl did, and said, "We got to meet this couple." And that would be your grandpa and grandma. And so they had just given birth to your aunt, Angie, right? Is that your aunt? And she was just a little baby. And that's how we met your family. And you lived down there, what was it, McLaughlin? Is that the name of the road? Where they had that bomber restaurant that was, or the gas station and so on, that was underneath that bomber. It was a pretty distinctive landmark, but that's where we met. But it's interesting, if you think, may talk to your family someday to find out where they came from, what countries, and how they got to America. But it's interesting how God will bring you to a certain place so you can meet people that you need to know.
That is true on so many different levels. We've met people from different countries, and it, you know, people would say, "Oh, that's just by chance." But really, God brought them to where they needed to be, and they heard the truth, they acted on it, and then God took them elsewhere, you know, so.
Like Australia or South America.
Uh-huh, that's right. So it's like the book of Acts, like we're going through these things, and it is very much active today. Like we, probably a previous shows, we started talking about the Ethiopian eunuch, and after he heard the truth, he did what he was supposed to do, and it says that he took, was it Stephen?
Philip,
and took Philip away, and the eunuch went on
his way rejoicing.
Yep. Back to Ethiopia.
It's interesting going back to this. I'm glad you reminded us to go back. He also determined our appointed times and boundaries of our habitation for the purpose. Look at verse 27. That's 3 times 9. It's spiritual. That they would seek God if perhaps they might grope for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. Didn't it say, repent because the kingdom of heavens is at hand? It says within arm's reach. It's saying that same thing, but a little different way of saying it, but it's still that he is not far from each one of us. Nobody has an excuse. Doesn't it say another place in the Bible too, he would none perish?
You know, people, God wills that none should perish, but that all men should come to repentance.
Here's that repentance word again. Everybody would change their mind. And isn't it interesting we sang that song about seeking God and that they should find him because he's not far from each one of us. For in him we live, move, exist. And even some of your poets have said, we are his children. Being then the children of God, we ought not to think that the divine nature. So he's really wants us to be kids, and he wants us to be able to talk to him, not as strangers. But isn't it interesting how that works into being children, sons of God, children of God? There is a lot in there. I'm so glad you reminded us to back up on this, because this is one of my favorite scriptures. 18 things that we have to know about God. He wants us to be his children. But to live in a house, well, when you start in kindergarten, what's the first thing you do in kindergarten?
Landon should know. He's closer.
I don't know. I don't remember.
You have to learn how to behave, because otherwise, from then on, all the classes are going to be chaos. I think they've forgotten that in schools to some degree. Everybody needs to be quiet and learn and listen and speak when they're spoken to, but new rules today, I guess. And he's also fixed a day. So God overlooked the times of his ignorance, and God is now declaring to men All people everywhere should repent. So it starts with that, doesn't it, Brett?
Yeah.
And repentance has to come from the heart. How about this scripture? I forget how many times, I know what it is. I decided to look at heart. I'm going to go back over this and actually put in some lead in. I've got to bring my right Bible tomorrow. But we're going to record some scriptures on heart in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, these stair steps to get people to Acts. And the word heart, how many times do you think it's found in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John before the book of Acts?
You want me to guess?
Yeah.
Over 100 times.
About half of that.
Yeah, first try. 50 times.
Actually, one less.
Yeah, 49, first try.
Well, what do you think happens in the book of Acts? The day of Pentecost.
Oh.
What do you think happens in Acts chapter 2?
50th heart's mentioned.
The 50th. Oh, actually, it's 48 times in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. It's found 49th time is in Acts chapter 1, now that I think about it. And the 50th time is found after the day of Pentecost. Now he's talking to people in a different era. God has fixed the time. He had a time for this day of Pentecost when men would be filled with the Holy Spirit again, and so on. So guess what he says the first thing? To be a child of God. See, he's building up to childhood, to become one of his kids. He says, give me your heart, my son. So he's talking to us as his children and his sons. Now, notice he doesn't say, give me your heart, my daughter. So that means he doesn't want girls at all, right? What happens when he didn't listen to the ladies and treat them as equal? He upbraided them.
Yeah.
When they didn't listen.
What, that he'd been resurrected?
After he was resurrected. Martha.
Yeah. Small thing like that, they didn't want to listen to.
Martha Magdala, who had a bad reputation before. They were respecter of persons. He sent her to go tell the 12 apostles.
Mary Magdalene.
What did I say, Mary? Oh, Mary Magdalene, thank you. Anyway, so he sent Mary Magdalene to the 12 apostles, well, the 11, and told them that he had risen from the dead, and they did not believe it. And Jesus, it uses the term, upbraided them. He gave them a really good bawling out. But now he's fixed a day where he will judge the world in righteousness through the man whom he has appointed, having furnished proof to all men by raising him from the dead. And which brought about the day of Pentecost, where we all changed. What else stood out in that section, Brett, that you wanted to put the brakes on?
You know, going back to big picture, that Paul was coming into Athens and he was explaining this to this kind of people who had whole different belief structures, and there were so many people that believed in, you know, their faith was in this or that, or they worshiped this God, that God, or this God. And so he goes to show them who is the true God and what the message is. And I mean, big picture on that whole thing, that he was sent by God to go and do those, to go there and proclaim those things. And the end of it was what? Like 32. Now, when they heard of a resurrection of the dead, some mocked, but others said, we will hear thee concerning this yet again. That's in verse 32. And then 33, thus Paul went out from their midst, but certain men clave to him and believed, among whom also Dionysius the Areopagite, and a woman, Damaris by name, and others with them. So he went in the midst of a place like that and spoke the truth. And yes, there were people that heard and followed him.
How do you like the name for God in verse 29, that he says that the divine nature is not like gold or silver? God is called the divine nature. God's very nature, his character. You ever wondered about your new name that you're going to get? When we are baptized, when our heart is circumcised, Abram's name was changed to Abraham. Cephas was changed to Peter, or Simon was changed to Peter. And when where our heart is circumcised, at circumcision of the heart, we get a new name. That's an old, it shows in the Old Testament that that happened. Well, in the New Testament, it's still the same. Because we become a new nature, we get a new name that goes along exactly with our new, we get that name that tells our nature. And Peter's name was, you know, a chip off the old rock, Petros. And he became a chip off the rock, part of Jesus.
And this is still very much in effect today. We very well could come to a place where we'll be meeting somebody who worship another god, but they still need to know what the truth is and that this was a command to repent.
These are 18 things in this that everybody must know about God. If you're going to be a son of God, and it talks about being a child of God, these are things you, being then the children of God, we ought not to think that the divine nature is like a statue or whatever. He's the creator. He's not a piece of wood. He's not a piece of marble. His divine nature. He has a nature, a character. It's way beyond our comprehension how much it is. He's the creator. He made us in his image. We are the only creation in this whole world that is made in God's image and likeness. Except for we are fallen, we don't display it until we become born from above. How about Acts 18, 5 through 11, if there's nothing more to say on 17? I am so glad you brought us back to that, Brett.
Did you have anything to say about Acts 18, 1 through 4? We read that a while ago.
So he's moving on. When I'm reading through these things, it, you know, Paul, when he's going from one area to the other, I'm reminded, you know, God is sending him to these areas. Like, it's just not he's going there randomly. It's he goes there, and God has a purpose for what he's going to go there and do, what he's going to go and say, and then what you see, okay, this is what's done. All right, then it's time to move on because he had to continue. This is talking about spreading the gospel. After these things, he departed from Athens and came to Corinth. So God is sending him through these areas. And it's not for vacation. He's going there for a job.
There's a song about that. This whole thing started on the day of Pentecost, which Acts started in. Started in Jerusalem, then Judea, then Samaria, then to the uttermost parts of the earth. And it goes like this. You shall receive power. You shall receive power. You shall receive power when the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and you shall witness in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and to the ends of the earth. You shall receive power. You shall receive power. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit's come within you.
The Holy Spirit has come within you, will receive power, but it starts in Jerusalem. It started in Jerusalem first, then Judea, then Samaria, and now we're reading about it going into the uttermost parts of the earth. This is where we are. Okay, 5 through 11.
Okay. But when both Silas and Timothy came down from Macedonia, Paul was constrained by the word, testifying to the Jews that Jesus was the Christ. And when they opposed themselves and blasphemed, he shook out his raiment and said unto them, your blood be upon your heads. I am clean. Henceforth, I will go unto the nations. And he departed thence and went into the house of a certain man, Titius Justus, by name one that worshipped God, whose house joined hard to the synagogue. And Crispus, the synagogue ruler, believed in the Lord with all his house, and many of the Corinthians hearing believed and were baptized. And the Lord said to Paul at night by a vision, "Be not afraid, but speak, and hold not thy peace, because I am with thee. And no man shall set on thee to harm thee, because I have much people in this city." And he dwelt there a year and 6 months, teaching the word of God among them.
So they were in Corinth, and then they moved on in the next context. But what does it say in verse 8? What strikes you there?
The leader of the synagogue.
What did they do? What did the people do?
The Corinthians were believing and being baptized.
They first believed, and then they were being baptized. Not everyone was baptized, but the ones that believed were baptized.
And when we look at these letters, like we have a letter to the church in Corinth, well, these are those people he's writing letters to. And God said he has much people in this city.
There's two whole chapters. I mean, two whole books devoted to this church. One thing we've learned about the Bible is that Jesus quoted a lot out of the Old Testament, especially having to do with the Ten Commandments. And he never nullified one of the Ten Commandments. He just strengthened them and made them to be in our heart, not just in what we do, but to the very heart of us. He wants us to keep these things in our heart. And one of these is in Deuteronomy. Where, Jesse?
It's Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 through 6.
And this was my wife's favorite verse.
Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord, he is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart and with all of your soul and with all of your might. These words shall be on your heart. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord, he is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart and with all of your soul and with all of your might. These words shall be on your heart. These words shall be on your heart. These words shall be on your heart.
And until we meet again, may God lead you into all truth.
You can contact Gilbert and his friends at www.gilbertandfriends.com. That's www.gilbertandfriends.com. Or write to him, Gilbert and Friends, P.O. Box 820-347, Vancouver, Washington 98682. That's P.O. Box 820-347, Vancouver, Washington 98682. Or call us at 360-600-6726. That's 360-600-6726. We invite your comments as we reason together through the Bible. Thank you for joining us on Come Let Us Reason Together and reminding you all to eat a healthy breakfast every morning. Our favorite breakfast is the Bible because it is written, "Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God."